Hey everyone, welcome back to our series on Seneca's Letters on Ethics to Lucilius. Today we're diving into episode 2, where we'll cover letters 11 to 20. These letters touch on a variety of fascinating and practical topics, including blushing, visiting a childhood home, and dealing with anxieties about the future. We'll also discuss safety in a dangerous world, exercises for the body and voice, the importance of daily study and practice, saving for retirement, the Saturnalia festival, the satisfactions of retirement, and the importance of being consistent. Remember, these letters are not just educational content. They are a comprehensive daily guide to life. You can find the topics and their timestamps in the description below the video. If you're new here or missed the last episode, you can catch up on all the episodes in the description below this video. Be sure to watch until the end to get the full benefits of Seneca's wisdom. If you find this series useful and enjoyable, please hit the like button, comment, keep going below, and don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you won't miss any future episodes. Let's get started. Letter 11. Blushing. The philosophy of a flushed face. All right, folks, let's talk about something we've all experienced. Blushing. Yeah, that awkward moment when your cheeks turn crimson and you feel like everyone's staring at you. But did you know that blushing has a deep philosophical significance? It's not just a physical reaction, it's a window into our emotions, our values, and our social interactions. The red-faced phenomenon. Blushing is a universal human experience. It's that involuntary reddening of the face that occurs when we're embarrassed, ashamed, or self-conscious. It's a physiological response that's triggered by the sympathetic nervous system, the same system that's responsible for our fight-or-flight response. But blushing isn't just a physical reaction, it's also a social signal. It communicates to others that we're feeling vulnerable, embarrassed, or ashamed. It's a way of showing that we care about what others think of us, that we're aware of social norms, and that we're willing to conform to them. Seneca's blushing insights. The ancient Stoic philosopher Seneca had some interesting observations about blushing. He saw it as a natural human reaction that even the wisest among us can't control. As Seneca put it, "I am sure that blushing is one of these things, for even in the soberest of grown men, it still arises, and suddenly too. True, it is seen more in the young, in whom the native heat is greater and the complexion more supple, but it also affects veteran soldiers and the elderly." In other words, blushing is a part of our human nature, something that's hardwired into our biology. It's not a sign of weakness or lack of self-control, but rather a testament to our social nature and our desire for connection and belonging. The philosophy of a flushed face, your blushing bootcamp. 1. Embrace your humanity. Blushing is a natural human reaction. Don't be ashamed of it. Embrace it as a sign that you're a social being who cares about others and their opinions. 2. Don't overthink it. Blushing is an involuntary reaction. You can't control it, so don't try. The more you focus on it, the more self-conscious you'll become, and the more likely you are to blush even harder. 3. Use it as a signal. Blushing can be a useful social signal. It can show others that you're embarrassed, ashamed, or self-conscious, which can help them understand your perspective and respond with empathy and compassion. 4. Learn from it. Blushing can be a learning experience. If you find yourself blushing frequently, take some time to reflect on what triggers it. Are you feeling insecure, anxious, or self-conscious? By understanding the root cause of your blushing, you can start to address it and develop strategies for managing your emotions. 5. Don't let it define you. Blushing is just one aspect of your personality. Don't let it define you or hold you back from pursuing your goals and dreams. As the saying goes, don't let anyone dull your sparkle. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The job interview. Blush. A job candidate who's nervous about an interview starts to blush when asked a difficult question. Instead of getting flustered, they take a deep breath, acknowledge their nervousness, and answer the question honestly and confidently. The public speaking blush. A public speaker who's afraid of being judged by the audience starts to blush as they step onto the stage. Instead of letting their fear take over, they channel their nervous energy into their presentation, delivering a passionate and engaging speech. The social anxiety blush. A person who struggles with social anxiety blushes easily in social situations. They learn to accept their blushing as a natural reaction and focus on building their confidence and social skills. The bottom line: blushing is not a flaw, it's a feature. It's a reminder of our humanity, our social nature, and our capacity for empathy and connection. By embracing your blushing, you can learn to use it as a tool for communication, self-awareness, and personal growth. As the philosopher Seneca said, "Wisdom does not erase all defects. What is innate and implanted may be mitigated by treatment, but not overcome." Letter 12. Visiting a childhood home. Time travel for the soul. No DeLorean required. All right, folks, let's talk about revisiting the past. No, we're not talking about digging up old yearbooks or stalking your ex on social media, although let's be real, we've all been there. We're diving into the philosophical concept of revisiting our childhood homes, the places where we grew up, the spaces that shaped us, the memories that haunt us. The nostalgia trap. Ever visited your childhood home and felt a flood of emotions? A mix of nostalgia, bittersweet memories, and maybe even a little bit of existential dread. It's like stepping into a time capsule where the past and present collide, and you're not quite sure who you are anymore. As the philosopher Søren Kierkegaard put it, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. In other words, our past experiences shape who we are, but we can't let them define us. We have to move forward, create new memories, and build a life that's meaningful to us now. Seneca's take on revisiting the past. The ancient Stoic philosopher Seneca had a rather pragmatic view of revisiting the past. He saw it as an opportunity for reflection, self-awareness, and even a bit of humor. As Seneca put it in Letter 12, he visited his childhood home and found himself complaining about the state of the property. He was annoyed that the house was falling apart, the trees were withered, and even the doorman looked decrepit. But then he realized something important. My suburban villa has done me a service. It has brought my age before me at every turn. Let us embrace old age and love it. It is full of pleasure if you know what use to make of it. In other words, Seneca used his visit to his childhood home as a reminder of the impermanence of life, the inevitability of change, and the importance of embracing each stage of life with grace and humor. Making the most of your time travel, your nostalgia toolkit. 1. Embrace the impermanence of life. Everything changes. Our bodies age, our homes deteriorate, and even our memories fade. Instead of clinging to the past, embrace the impermanence of life and appreciate the present moment. As the Buddhist saying goes, this too shall pass. 2. Reflect on your growth. How have you changed since you lived in your childhood home? What have you learned? What challenges have you overcome? What are you proud of? Use your visit as an opportunity for self-reflection and growth. 3. Reconnect with your roots. Our childhood homes are a part of our history, our identity, and our story. Use your visit to reconnect with your roots, to remember where you came from, and to honor the people and experiences that shaped you. 4. Create new memories. Don't just dwell on the past. Create new memories in your childhood home. Invite friends and family over, have a picnic in the backyard, or simply take a walk around the neighborhood and revisit your old haunts. 5. Let go of the past. Don't let the past hold you back. Forgive yourself for your mistakes, let go of regrets, and move forward with a sense of purpose and optimism. As the saying goes, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The empty nester. A couple who's recently become empty nesters decides to sell their family home and downsize to a smaller house. They visit their old home one last time, reminiscing about the memories they made there, the children they raised, and the life they built together. The returning expat. An expat who's been living abroad for many years returns to their childhood home for a visit. They're struck by how much has changed, but they also feel a sense of comfort and familiarity in the places and people they once knew. The family reunion. A family gathers at their childhood home for a reunion. They share stories, laughter, and tears as they reconnect with each other and with the place that holds so many memories. The bottom line. Revisiting your childhood home can be a powerful experience. It can be a time of reflection, healing, and reconnection, but it can also be a trigger for nostalgia, regret, and even pain. By embracing the impermanence of life, reflecting on your growth, reconnecting with your roots, creating new memories, and letting go of the past, you can turn your visit into a transformative experience that helps you move forward with a renewed sense of purpose and appreciation for the present moment. Letter 13. Anxieties about the future. Your stoic shield against the what-ifs. All right, folks, let's tackle a monster we all know too well. Anxiety about the future. We're not talking about healthy planning or reasonable caution. We're talking about that full-blown, heart-pounding, mind-racing worry that keeps you up at night, gnawing at your sanity and sucking the joy out of life. The worry-go-round. We live in a world that's constantly bombarding us with reasons to worry. The news cycle is a never-ending stream of disasters. Social media is a highlight reel of everyone else's seemingly perfect lives, and our own brains are wired to imagine worst-case scenarios. It's like we're on a worry-go-round, constantly spinning with no way to get off. As the philosopher Seneca put it, more things frighten us than actually affect us, and we suffer more often in imagination than in reality. In other words, we're often our own worst enemies, creating problems where none exist and magnifying our fears beyond all proportion. The Stoic chill pill. The ancient Stoics, like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, had a surprisingly chill approach to worry and anxiety. They believed that the key to inner peace was to focus on what we can control, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, and to accept what we can't control, the future, other people's opinions, external events. As Epictetus put it, there is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will. So, how do we hop off the worry-go-round and find some stoic serenity? 1. Reality. Check. When you find yourself worrying, take a step back and ask yourself, is this worry based on facts or on speculation? Is it likely to happen? What's the worst that could happen? Often our worries are based on irrational fears and exaggerated scenarios. By facing them head-on, we can often diffuse their power. 2. Focus on the present. Worrying about the future is like paying interest on a debt you haven't even incurred yet. It's a waste of time and energy. Instead, focus on the present moment. What can you do right now to improve your situation or prepare for the future? As the saying goes, worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles, it takes away today's peace. 3. Acceptance. Some things in life are simply beyond our control. We can't predict the future, we can't control other people's actions, and we can't prevent all bad things from happening. By accepting this reality, we can let go of the need for control and find peace in the present moment. 4. Positive action. Instead of dwelling on your worries, take positive action. If you're worried about your finances, create a budget and stick to it. If you're worried about your health, make healthy lifestyle choices and see a doctor regularly. Taking action can help you feel more in control and reduce your anxiety. 5. Seek support. Don't try to go it alone. Talk to a friend, family member, therapist, or anyone else you trust. Sharing your worries can help you gain perspective, find solutions, and feel less alone. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The job seeker. Instead of worrying about not getting a job, the job seeker focuses on networking, updating their resume, and practicing their interview skills. They also remind themselves that even if they don't get this particular job, there will be other opportunities. The climate change activist. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by the climate crisis, the activist focuses on taking action, reducing their carbon footprint, advocating for policy changes, and educating others about the issue. The new parent. Instead of constantly worrying about their child's future, the new parent focuses on enjoying the present moment, cherishing their time with their child, and providing them with a loving and supportive environment. The bottom line. Worrying about the future is a natural human tendency, but it doesn't have to control us. By practicing these stoic techniques, we can break free from the grip of anxiety and live more fully in the present moment. As the philosopher Seneca said, "There is no enjoying the present if you are always anticipating the future." So, let go of the what-ifs, embrace the unknown, and focus on what you can control. Your future self will thank you for it. Letter 14. Safety in a Dangerous World. Your Stoic Guide to Dodging Life's Ninja Attacks. All right, folks, let's talk about safety. No, we're not talking about bubble wrap and helmets, although those have their place. We're talking about the philosophical kind of safety, the kind that comes from inner strength, wisdom, and a healthy dose of Stoic realism. We're talking about how to navigate a world that's full of risks, threats, and uncertainties without losing your cool or your sanity. The illusion of safety. We all want to feel safe and secure. We lock our doors, we buy insurance, we avoid dangerous neighborhoods. But the truth is, there's no such thing as absolute safety. Life is inherently risky, and bad things can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. As the philosopher Seneca put it, "What is more foolish than to be afraid of the things that will happen anyway?" In other words, worrying about things we can't control is a waste of time and energy. Instead, we should focus on what we can control, our actions, our attitudes, and our responses to adversity. The Stoic Security System. The ancient Stoics, like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, had a unique approach to safety. They didn't believe in hiding from the world or living in fear. Instead, they advocated for a proactive approach to risk management, combined with a philosophical mindset that allowed them to accept the inevitable with grace and equanimity. As Epictetus put it, the chief task in life is simply this: to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals not under my control and which have to do with the choices I actually control. So, how do we install this Stoic security system in our own lives? 1. Assess the risks. Don't stick your head in the sand. Be aware of the potential risks and dangers in your environment. This doesn't mean obsessing over every little thing, but it does mean being realistic and taking reasonable precautions. 2. Focus on what you can control. You can't control the weather, the economy, or other people's actions, but you can control your own thoughts, your own actions, and your own responses to events. Focus on what you can control and let go of the rest. 3. Prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. This means having a plan B, an emergency fund, and a support system in place. As the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. 4. Cultivate courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. It's about facing our fears head on, taking risks, and stepping outside our comfort zones. As Nelson Mandela said, the brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. 5. Embrace amor. Fati. Amor fati is a Latin phrase that means love of fate. It's the idea of accepting everything that happens to us, both good and bad, as part of our life's journey. By embracing amor fati, we can find meaning and purpose even in the most difficult circumstances. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The prepared traveler. Before embarking on a trip to a foreign country, the prepared traveler researches the local customs, learns a few basic phrases in the local language, and takes precautions against theft and scams. The resilient business owner. When faced with an economic downturn, the resilient business owner doesn't panic. They adapt their business model, cut costs where necessary, and find creative ways to stay afloat. The mindful parent. The mindful parent teaches their children about safety, but they also encourage them to take risks, explore their world, and learn from their mistakes. The bottom line. Safety is not about living in a bubble. It's about being prepared, being resilient, and being willing to face the challenges that life throws our way. By adopting a Stoic mindset, we can navigate a dangerous world with courage, wisdom, and inner peace. As the philosopher Seneca said, "The whole future lies in uncertainty. Live immediately." Letter 15. Exercises for the body and the voice. Your mind's personal trainers. No gym membership required. All right, folks, let's talk about getting in shape. But hold your horses. We're not talking about six-pack abs or bulging biceps. We're diving into the ancient philosophy of exercising both your body and your voice. Two tools that can elevate your mind, boost your confidence, and help you live a more fulfilling life. The mind-body connection. It's not just for yogis. Ever heard of the mind-body connection? It's not just some new age mumbo-jumbo. Philosophers like Plato and Aristotle were all over this concept centuries ago. They understood that our physical and mental well-being are deeply intertwined. A healthy body supports a healthy mind, and a healthy mind can push the body to achieve amazing things. Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, chimed in on this too. He wasn't a fan of extreme bodybuilding or grueling workouts, but he did advocate for moderate exercise that nourished the mind and kept the body in good working order. As he put it, "Restrict your body then as much as you can and give more latitude to the mind." Why bother with exercise? It's not just about looking good in a toga. 1. Mental clarity. Exercise gets your blood pumping and your brain buzzing. It can improve focus, memory, and cognitive function. Think of it as a mental tune-up, clearing out the cobwebs and revving up your brain power. 2. Stress reduction. Ever notice how a good workout can melt away stress and tension? Exercise releases endorphins, those feel-good chemicals that can boost your mood and reduce anxiety. It's like a natural antidepressant without the side effects. 3. Confidence. Boost. When you feel good in your body, you feel good about yourself. Exercise can improve your posture, your strength, and your overall physical appearance, which can boost your confidence and self-esteem. 4. Energy and vitality. Let's face it, a sluggish body leads to a sluggish mind. Regular exercise can increase your energy levels, improve your sleep, and give you a greater sense of vitality. 5. Discipline and resilience. Sticking to a workout routine takes discipline and perseverance. These are valuable qualities that can be applied to other areas of your life, like your career, your relationships, and your personal goals. Finding your fitness groove, your ancient workout playlist. Seneca's simple and effective exercises. Seneca recommended short, simple exercises like running, jumping, and lifting weights. These exercises can be done anywhere, anytime, and don't require fancy equipment or a gym membership. The Philosopher's Walk. Aristotle and other philosophers were known for their peripatetic teaching style, walking while they lectured. Walking is a great way to get exercise, clear your head, and stimulate your creativity. The Gladiator's Workout. Okay, so maybe you don't want to fight lions in an arena, but you can still learn from the gladiators' intense training regimen, which included strength training, cardio, and agility drills. The power of your voice, more than just karaoke night. Your voice is more than just a way to communicate. It's a powerful tool for self-expression, persuasion, and connection. Seneca warned against excessive vocal training, but he did advocate for using your voice in a way that's clear, confident, and impactful. Finding your voice, your ancient public speaking coach. The rhetorician's technique. The ancient rhetoricians like Cicero and Quintilian were masters of the spoken word. They developed techniques for using their voices to captivate audiences, persuade juries, and inspire action. The Philosopher's Dialogue. Socrates and other philosophers engaged in dialogues, conversations aimed at seeking truth and understanding. By engaging in thoughtful dialogue, you can sharpen your thinking, refine your arguments, and connect with others on a deeper level. The Storyteller's Craft. Storytelling is a powerful way to connect with others, share your experiences, and transmit wisdom. By developing your storytelling skills, you can captivate audiences, inspire action, and leave a lasting legacy. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The CEO who runs marathons. Many successful CEOs are avid runners. They find that running helps them to clear their heads, reduce stress, and maintain their physical and mental stamina. The activist who gives speeches. Many activists use their voices to raise awareness, inspire action, and advocate for change. They learn to speak with passion, conviction, and clarity, using their words to move hearts and minds. The podcaster who shares stories. Podcasters use their voices to share stories, insights, and perspectives with a global audience. They build communities, spark conversations, and make a difference through the power of their words. The bottom line. Your body and your voice are not just physical tools. They're instruments of the mind, vehicles for self-expression, and powerful agents of change. By exercising your body, cultivating your voice, and embracing the mind-body connection, you can unlock your full potential and live a life that's both physically and mentally fit. As the philosopher Seneca said, "The mind that is not cultivated is not worth living." So, get out there and start training your mind's personal trainers, your body, and your voice. A Letter 16, Daily Study and Practice, Leveling Up Your Life, One Brain, Push Up at a Time. All right, folks, let's talk about getting our learn on. And no, we're not talking about cramming for exams or memorizing useless facts, although sometimes that's necessary, I guess. We're diving into the ancient philosophy of daily study and practice, the idea that learning isn't just a one-and-done deal, but a lifelong journey of growth and self-improvement. The learning plateau. Ever feel like you've hit a plateau in your learning? Like you're not making progress, not gaining new insights, not expanding your horizons? Maybe you've been stuck in the same routine, reading the same kinds of books, or just coasting on autopilot. As the philosopher Heraclitus put it, "No man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, and he's not the same man." The same goes for learning. We're constantly changing and evolving, and our learning should reflect that. Seneca's study habits on steroids. Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, was a big believer in daily study and practice. He saw it as a way to strengthen the mind, cultivate virtue, and live a more fulfilling life. As he put it, "I'm sure you realize, Lucilius, that no one can live a truly happy life, or even a bearable life, without the study of philosophy. Also, that while it is complete wisdom that renders a life happy, even to begin that study makes life bearable. But this realization must be confirmed and fixed more deeply through daily rehearsal. It is more work to follow through on honorable aims than it is to conceive of them. One must persevere and add strength by constant study, until excellent intentions become excellence of mind. In other words, don't just think about learning, do it. Make it a daily habit, challenge yourself, and don't give up until you've achieved excellence of mind. Your daily learning workout, no sweatbands required. 1. Set learning goals. What do you want to learn? What skills do you want to develop? What knowledge do you want to acquire? Write down your learning goals and create a plan to achieve them. 2. Make time for learning. Schedule time each day for learning, even if it's just 15 or 20 minutes. Make it a non-negotiable part of your routine, like brushing your teeth or checking your email. Okay, maybe not that last one. 3. Diversify your learning. Don't just stick to one subject or one method of learning. Read books, listen to podcasts, watch documentaries, take online courses, attend workshops, talk to experts, mix it up, and keep your brain engaged. 4. Apply what you learn. Don't just learn for the sake of learning. Apply what you learn to your life. Share your knowledge with others, experiment with new ideas, and see how you can use your newfound skills and insights to make a difference in the world. 5. Reflect and review. Take time each day to reflect on what you've learned. What did you find interesting? What challenged your assumptions? What can you apply to your life? By reviewing and reflecting on your learning, you can deepen your understanding and make it more meaningful. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The coder who never stops. Coding. A software developer who's passionate about their craft sets aside time each day to learn new programming languages, frameworks, and tools. They also contribute to open source projects and share their knowledge with other developers through blog posts and tutorials. The artist who experiments daily. An artist who's constantly pushing their creative boundaries experiments with new mediums, techniques, and styles. They also attend workshops, take classes, and seek feedback from other artists to continually improve their craft. The lifelong learner who embraces curiosity. A lifelong learner who's passionate about history, science, and philosophy reads books, listens to podcasts, and attends lectures on a wide range of topics. They're always asking questions, seeking out new information, and challenging their own assumptions. The bottom line: learning is not just about acquiring information, it's about expanding your mind, challenging your beliefs, and growing as a person. By setting learning goals, making time for learning, diversifying your learning, applying what you learn, and reflecting and reviewing, you can turn learning into a lifelong habit that enriches your life in countless ways. As the philosopher Seneca said, as long as you live, keep learning how to live. Letter 17. Saving for retirement, your Stoic 401k, for a rich life, and I don't mean just money. All right, folks, let's talk about retirement. No, not the shuffleboard and early bird specials kind of retirement. Although, hey, if that's your thing, rock on. We're diving into the philosophical side of retirement. The idea that it's not just about saving money, it's about saving your sanity, your soul, and your sense of purpose. The retirement mirage. We're often told that retirement is the golden ticket to happiness. We envision endless days of leisure, travel, and relaxation. But is that really what retirement is all about? As the philosopher Seneca put it, what you need is not to be in a different place, but to be a different person. In other words, simply changing your location or your schedule won't automatically lead to happiness and fulfillment. You need to change your mindset, your values, and your approach to life. The Stoic Retirement Plan. The ancient Stoics, like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, had a different vision of retirement. They saw it as an opportunity for continued growth, learning, and contribution to society. They believed that true retirement wasn't about withdrawing from the world, but about shifting our focus from external achievements to internal development. As Epictetus put it, wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. In other words, it's not about how much money you have, but how much you need. And the truth is, we often need a lot less than we think we do. So, how do we create a Stoic retirement plan that goes beyond the financial and focuses on the philosophical? 1. Redefine retirement. Retirement doesn't have to mean the end of work or productivity. It can be a new chapter in your life, a time to explore new passions, learn new skills, and give back to your community. As the saying goes, retirement is not the end of the road, it's the beginning of the open highway. 2. Cultivate inner riches. True wealth isn't measured in dollars and cents. It's about having a rich inner life filled with wisdom, virtue, and meaningful relationships. As the philosopher Seneca put it, the mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven of hell a hell of heaven. 3. Embrace lifelong learning. Learning doesn't stop when you retire. In fact, it can become even more enjoyable and fulfilling when you have more time and freedom to explore your interests. Take classes, read books, attend lectures, or simply engage in conversations with people who challenge your thinking. 4. Find your purpose. Retirement can be a time of great purpose and meaning. Volunteer your time, mentor younger generations, start a new business, or pursue a creative passion. As the psychologist Viktor Frankl put it, those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. 5. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate the good things in your life. This can be as simple as writing down 3 things you're grateful for each morning or evening. Gratitude can help you shift your focus away from what you lack and towards the abundance that already exists. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The retiree who starts a non-profit. A retired teacher who's passionate about education starts a non-profit organization that provides free tutoring and mentoring to underprivileged students. The grandparent who writes a memoir. A retired engineer who always loved to write starts a blog and eventually publishes a memoir about their life experiences. The volunteer who mentors young people. A retired business executive volunteers their time to mentor young entrepreneurs, sharing their wisdom and experience to help them succeed. The bottom line. Retirement is not just about financial security. It's about creating a life that's rich in meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. By redefining retirement, cultivating inner riches, embracing lifelong learning, finding your purpose, and practicing gratitude, you can create a retirement that's truly golden. As the philosopher Seneca said, life is not about waiting for the storm to pass, it's about learning to dance in the rain. Letter 18, the Saturnalia Festival, a philosophical take on holiday cheer and how not to lose your stoic cool. All right, folks, let's talk about holidays. No, we're not talking about the Hallmark kind, with all the cheesy decorations and forced family gatherings. We're diving into the ancient Roman festival of Saturnalia, a time of feasting, revelry, and role reversals, and exploring what it can teach us about moderation, mindfulness, and the true meaning of celebration. The Saturnalia. Shenanigans. Imagine a world turned upside down, masters serving slaves, gambling in the streets, and everyone wearing silly hats. That was Saturnalia, the Roman festival honoring the god Saturn, a time when social norms were relaxed and chaos reigned supreme. It was like a week-long spring break for the ancient Romans, a time to let loose and indulge in all sorts of excess. As the poet Catullus put it, "Let us live, my Lesbia, and let us love, and let us judge all the rumors of the old men to be worth just one penny." In other words, let's party like it's 19 BC, or whatever year it is for you. Seneca's sobering perspective. But not everyone was on board with the Saturnalia madness. Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, saw it as a time of potential moral pitfalls. He wasn't a total Scrooge, but he did believe that even during celebrations, we should strive for moderation, mindfulness, and a deeper understanding of the true meaning of the holiday. As Seneca put it, "I am determined to test how firm your mind really is. I will therefore give you the same instructions that great men have given. Set yourself a period of some days in which you will be content with very small amounts of food and the cheapest kinds, and with coarse, uncomfortable clothing, and say to yourself, "Is this what I was afraid of?" In other words, don't get so caught up in the holiday hype that you lose sight of your values and your commitment to living a virtuous life. Use the time to challenge yourself, practice self-discipline, and reflect on what truly matters. Celebrating wisely, your Saturnalia survival guide. 1. Moderation is key. It's okay to indulge in holiday treats and festivities, but don't go overboard. Remember, as the philosopher Epicurus said, pleasure is the beginning and end of the blessed life. But he also warned against excessive pleasure, saying, if you wish to make Pythocles rich, do not add to his money, rather, subtract from his desires. 2. Mindfulness matters. Don't just go through the motions of the holiday season. Be present in the moment, savor the experiences, and appreciate the company of loved ones. As the mindfulness teacher Jon Kabat-Zinn put it, mindfulness means paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. 3. Connect with the meaning. What is the true meaning of the holiday you're celebrating? Is it about religious devotion, cultural traditions, or simply spending time with loved ones? Take some time to reflect on the deeper meaning of the holiday and connect with its values. 4. Practice gratitude. The holidays are a time to be grateful for the good things in our lives, our health, our families, our friends, our communities. Take some time each day to express your gratitude, whether it's through writing in a journal, saying a prayer, or simply telling someone you love how much you appreciate them. 5. Give back. The holidays are also a time for giving back to others. Volunteer your time, donate to charity, or simply offer a helping hand to someone in need. As the saying goes, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The mindful holiday shopper. Instead of getting caught up in the frenzy of Black Friday shopping, the mindful holiday shopper makes a list of the people they want to buy gifts for, sets a budget, and sticks to it. They also focus on buying gifts that are meaningful and thoughtful, rather than just expensive or trendy. The grateful family gatherer. Instead of dreading the obligatory family gathering, the grateful family gatherer focuses on the positive aspects of spending time with their loved ones. They engage in meaningful conversations, share stories and laughter, and express their appreciation for each other. The volunteer Santa. Instead of just buying gifts for their own children, the volunteer Santa donates their time and resources to help less fortunate children experience the joy of the holiday season. The bottom line: the holidays can be a time of great joy, connection, and celebration, but they can also be a source of stress, anxiety, and overindulgence. By embracing moderation, mindfulness, gratitude, and a deeper connection with the meaning of the holiday, we can create a more meaningful and fulfilling experience for ourselves and for those around us. As the philosopher Seneca said, "It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." Letter 19. The satisfactions of retirement, chillaxing like a stoic boss. All right, folks, let's kick back and chat about retirement. Not the early bird buffet and bingo nights kind of retirement, but the deeper, more philosophical kind. We're talking about how to retire, not just from a job, but from the rat race mindset, and embrace a life of fulfillment, purpose, and maybe even a little Stoic wisdom. The retirement myth. Society often paints retirement as this magical land of leisure, where you can finally do whatever you want, whenever you want. But let's be real, folks. That's a load of BS. Just kicking back and doing nothing can get old pretty fast. As the philosopher Seneca put it, the mind that is unoccupied is a playground for vices. In other words, if you don't have something meaningful to do with your time, you're gonna end up bored, restless, and maybe even a little depressed. The Stoic Retirement Blueprint. The ancient Stoics, like Seneca and Epictetus, had a different take on retirement. They saw it as an opportunity for continued growth, learning, and self-discovery. They believed that true retirement wasn't about escaping work, but about finding work that was truly meaningful and fulfilling. As Epictetus put it, "The true man is not the one who has much, but the one who is much." In other words, it's not about accumulating stuff or chasing after external validation, but about cultivating your inner self and living a life of virtue and purpose. So, how do we create a Stoic retirement that's more than just a never-ending vacation? 1. Redefine retirement. Retirement doesn't have to mean the end of work. It can be a time to pursue new passions, start a new career, or simply focus on projects that bring you joy and fulfillment. 2. Cultivate your mind. Never stop learning. Read books, take classes, attend lectures, or simply engage in stimulating conversations with others. As the saying goes, a mind that is stretched by a new experience can never go back to its old dimensions. 3. Give back to your community. Retirement is a great time to volunteer your time, mentor younger generations, or get involved in causes you care about. As Mahatma Gandhi said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. 4. Nurture your relationships. Spend time with loved ones, build new friendships, and strengthen your existing relationships. As the philosopher Aristotle put it, man is by nature a social animal. An individual who is unsocial, naturally and not accidentally, is either beneath our notice or more than human. 5. Live in the present moment. Don't dwell on the past or worry about the future. Focus on the present moment and savor the simple joys of life. As the Zen proverb says, the present moment is the only reality. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The retiree who starts a second career. A retired lawyer who always had a passion for cooking enrolls in culinary school and opens their own restaurant. The grandparent who mentors young people. A retired engineer volunteers their time to mentor young people interested in STEM fields, sharing their knowledge and experience to inspire the next generation. The traveler who volunteers abroad. A retired couple travels the world, volunteering their time and skills to help communities in need. They find fulfillment in making a difference and connecting with people from different cultures. The bottom line: retirement is not an end, but a beginning. It's a chance to redefine yourself, pursue your passions, and create a life that's truly fulfilling. By embracing the Stoic philosophy of self-sufficiency, lifelong learning, community engagement, and mindfulness, you can turn your retirement into a golden age of personal growth and happiness. As the philosopher Seneca said, life is like a play. It's not the length, but the excellence of the acting that matters. Letter 20. The importance of being consistent. Don't be a philosophical flip-flopper. All right, folks, let's talk about consistency. No, we're not talking about your morning coffee order or your favorite brand of toothpaste. we're diving into the deeper philosophical concept of consistency in our thoughts, actions, and values. We're talking about being true to ourselves, walking the talk, and not being a philosophical flip-flopper. The flip-flopper phenomenon. Ever met someone who's all talk and no action? Someone who preaches one thing but does another? Or maybe you've been that person yourself, struggling to align your actions with your values and beliefs. Inconsistency is a common human flaw. We're complex creatures full of contradictions and conflicting desires. But inconsistency can also be a major obstacle to personal growth, happiness, and success. As the philosopher Heraclitus put it, the only constant in life is change. But we could also say, the only constant in a fool's life is inconsistency. Seneca's consistency commandments. The ancient Stoic philosopher Seneca was a big believer in consistency. He saw it as a sign of a well-ordered mind, a life lived in accordance with reason and virtue. As Seneca put it, the greatest indication of a well-ordered mind is a man's ability to remain in one place and linger in his own company. In other words, don't be a scatterbrain, constantly jumping from one thing to another. Focus your energy, cultivate your inner life, and strive for consistency in your thoughts, actions, and values. Building a consistent life, your philosophical fitness plan. 1. Know thyself. Again, what are your core values? What are your goals? What kind of person do you want to be? The more you know yourself, the easier it will be to make choices that align with your true self. 2. Walk the talk. Don't just talk about your values, live them. Let your actions speak louder than your words. As the saying goes, be the change you want to see in the world. 3. Embrace discipline. Consistency takes discipline. It's about making choices that align with your values, even when it's difficult or inconvenient. As the philosopher Aristotle put it, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. 4. Avoid extremes. Don't swing from one extreme to another. Find a balance between work and play, indulgence and restraint, solitude and social connection. As the Buddha said, the middle way is the path to wisdom. 5. Forgive yourself and others. We all make mistakes. Don't beat yourself up for being inconsistent sometimes. Learn from your mistakes, forgive yourself, and move on. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The health nut who falls off the wagon. A health-conscious person who normally eats a healthy diet and exercises regularly, goes on vacation and indulges in all sorts of unhealthy foods and drinks. They feel guilty and ashamed, but they forgive themselves, learn from the experience, and get back on track when they return home. The environmentalist who drives a gas guzzler. An environmentalist who's passionate about reducing their carbon footprint drives a gas-guzzling SUV because it's the only car they can afford. They feel conflicted and hypocritical, but they remind themselves that they're doing the best they can with the resources they have. The activist who struggles with self-doubt. An activist who's fighting for social justice sometimes struggles with self-doubt and imposter syndrome. They remind themselves of their values, their accomplishments, and the impact they're making on the world. The bottom line. Consistency is not about being perfect. It's about striving for alignment between our thoughts, actions, and values. It's about being true to ourselves, even when we stumble or fall short. By knowing ourselves, walking the talk, embracing discipline, avoiding extremes, and forgiving ourselves, we can cultivate a life of consistency that leads to greater happiness, fulfillment, and inner peace. As the philosopher Seneca said, the life we endeavor to live should be better than the general practice, not contrary to it. Thank you for watching this episode on Seneca's Letters on Ethics to Lucilius. I hope you found the insights from letters 11 to 20 valuable and applicable to your daily life. Remember, Seneca's wisdom is a timeless guide that can help us navigate our modern world. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the like button, comment, keep going below, and don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you won't miss any future episodes. Check out the description below for more details and links to other episodes. See you next time.